You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, before we get to the episode, we just want you to know that today's episode of The Cooligans is brought to you by our friends, Heineken 00.
Correct, right? And you know, because you can't be in the stadium, you know what? There's a little bit, I don't know if you've been watching the news. But
I haven't, Christian. Why?
Look, Alexis, you can't go to live sporting events. There's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of delay. It's on pause for a second. But look, but while you can't be in the stadium cheering for your team, you can win a Heineken 00 stadium in a box.
Wow, come on, a stadium in a box. So all you got to do is you got to show how you're cheering by tagging at @Heineken_US and using hashtag cheers from home and hashtag promo for a chance to win a package featuring beer gear, stadium eats, and a real actual stadium seat.
Bro, you can watch the MLS's back tournament. You can watch when soccer does return. You can watch it in the actual stadium seat, so you can feel like you're right back at your home stadium.
How amazing is that? You're sitting in a seat just like you would do if you were at the stadium. Now you got to be 21 or over.
Okay, so look, for more information, visit HeinekenCheersFromHome.com.
Heineken 00.
Now you can. Tonight on The Cooligans, we are talking about the MLS's back quarterfinal rounds. Some people are happy. Some of us specifically are not, but yeah, we will get through it. You know what? I feel like our guest today may cheer us up, Alexis.
That's right, because we're going to be talking to Aleko Eskandari, and we're going to talk a lot of things MLS, youth development, but also he went on a date with Kim Kardashian?
Okay, this is news to me. Okay.
That and more tonight on The Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
The Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Okay. We did it again. I just want to get right into this program because there's too much to talk about. We have an incredible guest. Aleko Eskandarian is joining us. I don't even want to introduce myself.
You know what? Honestly, we don't care who you are. Nobody cares who I am. They don't care that we happen to be the gulliest. They just want to hear Aleko and what's going on with them Kardashians.
Okay. That's why everybody's tuning in, okay? Everybody from the E! Network just changed the channel, right, to tune in here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are The Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed.
That's right. And it happens to be the gulliest. And comedy kind of coming back. We're doing some outdoor shows. It's pretty sad, but we're doing it, you know?
Okay. Comedy's supposed to be indoors in a dark and scary room, almost like a dungeon.
100%. Dude, I feel like a blacksmith who someone opened the door for the first time in 15 years and said, I need fencing. And I'm like, really? You sure?
The world is getting back to normal, except for the United States as a whole list of problems. Anyway, let's start with the MLS's back quarterfinal rounds. Unreal. Some of these results, the games were entertaining.
People's favorite teams were losing. Not exactly what we wanted.
Okay, so yeah, let's start. Yeah, I mean, people, you may recognize us from NYCFC at home, okay, with the Cooligans.
See again, because NYCFC lost.
Okay, but I guess we know that the Portland Timbers are not huge fans of that show, so what are you going to do?
Wow, Gio Severacy put it on the whiteboard. Cancel this show for now. Wow.
No, NYCFC loses to the Portland Timbers 3-1, right? And it was a tough result, even though
NYCFC... I want to blame you, actually, because behind you is not only a Red Bull jersey, the enemy of NYCFC, but Gio Severacy coached at Cosmos, which you have on your other shoulder.
Yes, I mean, obviously, the these two kits are for Aleko. Obviously, you know, he coached at the Cosmos, and he infamously drank the Red Bull after scoring on the New York Red Bulls.
What you ask him about?
We will talk to him exactly about that. So yeah, but you know what? Blame me, Alexis, because you know why accept any responsibility?
It's easier to just blame you.
No, but obviously a great game from the Timbers. They, I mean, that second half, you know, the subs were the ones who scored, right? So obviously the subs were the right move on Gio's part.
We did an MLS Live sort of watch along on their channel. Yeah. And everyone kept talking about first half. Just seemed like everyone was throwing a couple jabs. No one was really making any moves. It's who makes the right adjustments. And right at the halftime, here comes Valeri. And boom, scores a goal. Next thing you know, and then done.
So, Andy Polo.
Wasn't needed. Okay, Andy. All right,
you're doing too much, but
my
okay.
guy, calm it down a little bit.
I did love the. I mean, the goal was incredible, but the celebration was pretty funny too. Yeah. I don't know what
it was
that
first kid.
Oh, okay.
His first daughter. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, I didn't know. What it was.
I made fun of it, but now I'm like, okay, I get it.
You know what? Let's still make fun of it. It's so cute.
Yeah. It's too cute. Don't do that to us.
It's cute. That's all. Yeah. Philadelphia defeated the Sporting Kansas City 3-1 as well. And Philadelphia looked incredibly dominant from the beginning. This was Peter Vermes. You heard him on the sideline losing his mind, screaming at Ilie. He could not stand that performance from his team.
I want to give you credit because I completely agree with you. You said you almost don't want the fans back because you love hearing the coaches. Mateus Almeida will disagree with you. He does not like that he ripped. He what did they go? Dressed down. He dressed down his team. I was going to say he undressed his team, which did not happen.
Okay. I ain't part of the job, coach.
Yo, buddy, you doing too much now. No, he dressed down his team. And it was heard by the 48,000 field mics that MLS had. Yeah. I kind of don't want. I want to be able to hear this. Like, Mike, everybody, dude, yeah. This is amazing.
It feels like you're watching a different type of game. The emotion, the intimacy is kind of exists that
the intimacy of undressing your play.
Exactly. And obviously Orlando went through defeating LAFC, which is unreal. And then Minnesota dominant against San Jose, just incredible results. So the semifinal matches are coming up. Our guest is also coming up. Yep. So let's get right to it. So come right back for our interview with Aleko Eskandarian.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in the word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, you being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now, listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right, thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We say, we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you, and then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Right? where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay. Yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia? All right. I might have to use points, but we gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road. People sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine. People sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each each other. And it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us. But also, they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
there's
haven't.
There's a few. There's almost like, I think, maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby, we're back. This is so exciting. We got our guest here, and it's very rare that we get to book one of our arch enemies, right?
I think yes, that's right. And I'm glad you said our, because
yeah. When we started, we said we become one, okay? So okay. Your enemies what? Are my enemies, which is why you are never allowed to speak nicely about my in-laws, because now my arch enemies are your
Alexis,
arch enemies.
How could I disrespect you in such a way? I wouldn't even think to do something like that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
that's I like also, how we're both doing jersey hands, because we know the guy who's coming in here. Well,
this is his language. Okay?
I know. The guy, you can't see this yet. You will in a second. He's wearing a V-neck, okay? He showed up as Jersey as possible. The only way he makes it a bit more Jersey if he opens up a sub in the middle of this interview.
Okay. He was like, you know what? I'm going to establish dominance by showing my chest hair.
Yeah.
All right?
He's like, everybody here knows if this was the Jersey Shore, I'd be king, okay? In this interview. Well, let's bring him in, because this guy's amazing. He is a legend in MLS. I believe he's still the assist leader, or maybe that recently has gone away. I'm not sure. We could ask. I could have Googled it before this. This man absolutely disrespected Christian, and we will not have it anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're trying to put your hands together for the one, the only, Aleko Eskandarian, everybody!
Hello, Aleko.
What's going on, guys? What an intro. Did I see myself out already?
You're good. You did it. We got the intro.
To cover it up.
All right, look. We have to get this out of the way, because there's clearly beef between us. Yes, let's provide the context for the people who may not be aware, who have not been following the Cooligans for years, because on August 29th of 2018, the year of our Lord.
Yeah.
Aleko Eskandarian, I was in, so there was a tweet from Cal Martino. He posts on Twitter. This is before Street FC, before anything. He's like, hey, I'm going to be doing these pickup games. Just post it on Twitter for the fans. Come out and play some pickup.
And let me preface this by saying, we're in a radio station in Midtown Manhattan. Christian is dressed how you would to go to a radio station, not for a pickup game. And also, I would say very early in your soccer career, Christian. So he has the bright idea to say, I think I'm going to go check out this pickup game. It's probably just a couple of fans, and it'll be a nice kickabout. And then I get a cold sweat crying phone call from Christian an hour later.
And it was not just fans, no. You know, just, you know, soccer fans that have maybe seen Cal Martino on NBC Premier League coverage. No, it was all ex-professional athletes who are best friends with Cal Martino, and then me. And then I'm playing, and yes, Aleko Eskandarian is one of those players. This is where I meet Aleko Eskandarian, and what does he do? Immediately, on first touch, as soon as I step on the grass, he nutmegs me viciously. So, Aleko Eskandarian, what do you have to say for yourself? And please form it in the phrase of an apology.
Man, so where do I begin? You know, I'm really glad we're addressing this, because it's been weighing on me as well.
Okay, good.
And I just want to say thank you, because it was serendipitous the way you just came into my life, because if you put yourself in my shoes, I'm getting used to the corporate world. I'm getting used to wearing a shirt and pants every day, not working out the way I used to. Kyle hits me up like, hey, man, I'm going to get a kick around together. I'm like, dude, bet. I'm there. I will make it. And sure enough, I was running late. I got stuck on the subway, changed my clothes. I think I showed up in running shoes, but I'm like, no, I have to come play. I have to come play. And when I got there, I was like, man, no stretch, no warm up. My touch is feeling off. Then you came into my life, and I was like, oh, man.
A Dominican giraffe with just a lot of space between his legs as he walks.
Yeah, what better way to build my confidence and kind of, like, get my mojo back than to kind of have my first nutmeg victim? And so thank you for coming into my life, because I wasn't feeling too good about myself that day. But once we had our little interaction – you helped me get on the right path. So without you, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Okay.
So thank you.
So Christian, your embarrassment provided a source of inspiration.
Oh, sure. Yeah. This is, I mean, this could be the sequel to how Stella got her groove back.
How Aleko got his Meg back.
Because, whoa, I mean, look, I remember stepping on the pitch, right? And it's obviously, this is in, by the Hudson River, or we're like on Pier, what is it, Pier 25, something like that.
Yeah.
And as soon as I get there, I'm like, I'm watching people play. I'm like, well, hold on. Everybody here has the thickest calves I've ever seen. What is this? I don't know what's going on.
You're like, maybe they didn't play soccer. Maybe there's some group meeting for people who need wider socks. Maybe that just let out at Chelsea Piers.
I remember stepping on to, it was like, quick games, like first to two or something like that. I get on and I'm like, hold up. I can't even get close to the ball. It's not even about defense. Defense wasn't even crossing my mind. I was just like, can I even get near anywhere where the actual game of soccer is being played? Because a lot of times people, it made me change my whole tone of like, when I'm watching a game and being like, you can't get the ball from that guy. You can't defend. You can't tackle that dude. And I'm like, I was trying to literally like 1v1 with Aleko Skenderian. I'm like, there's not even a possibility of me touching this ball. It's not even even kind of likely. And that's where you notice, you know how people are like, oh, the difference between the game, between college and professional and then Premier League and Bundesliga, whatever. I went from just an absolute novice soccer player to just professional athletes. And you know what? The gap is pretty large, Aleko.
Yeah, but you became a better player that day, because sometimes the lessons that you learn are difficult. They're tough. But unless you're exposed to it, you're going to think you're the man. If you're playing at your radio station thinking you're the man in your fancy jersey all the time and not being exposed to that, that's not – you're doing yourself a disservice. So kudos to you for putting yourself out there, getting exposed to that. And I think you're a better man and player because of it.
Dude, you're like one of those kids who chose to go to Europe, And it was a little bit of a rude awakening, right?
Okay.
But okay.
Just call me Weston McKennie, all right?
This is a little different than my touring club or my traveling club. These guys have mortgages. Why are we playing against them?
Exactly.
So that's good for you, dude.
Yeah, man.
It was fun, though. It was fun. We had a nice crew, if I remember correctly, that day. And I think everyone was there for the right reasons, everyone that loved the sport and just kicking around. So yeah,
I made a lot of friends that day. I also met Johnny Barajo that day and he's become a dear friend. I mean, he was kind enough to not nutmeg me in front of all these professional athletes.
Right. Well, he's got class. Barajo's got a little too, class.
If Barajo's nugging you, you got bigger issues. So that's not.
Yeah, if you get nutmegged by a defender, bro, embarrassing.
Right? I guess you become goalkeeper. That's how you become goalkeeper. You're like, that's it, dude.
You know what's funny? Goalies, like on the sneak, have the best skill of any field player. Because goalkeeper training, they do their like little 15, 20 minutes diving, like warm up and all that stuff. The rest of the time, goalkeepers just practice tricks all day long. That's all they do. Every goalkeeper you meet will have like the sickest juggling tricks. Like, where'd you learn that? Like, that's all we do at practice. That's all we do.
Yeah, you can't fall on the floor all day. You're not a wrestler. You gotta. Yeah. Don't hurt yourself, buddy.
but ask a goalkeeper to try to win in a race. Not happening. Okay.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
It's notoriously slow. All right. Yeah. So
look, Aleko. Every question can't be. We can't let this whole thing be about letting Christian get retribution on that nutmeg. We have to ask you some of the questions. I got two questions.
Why not?
The first one, I know, that's a good point, right? Maybe we should. But the first question I have for you, it's very simple. It's a one quick answer. You don't have to elaborate. a very Jersey legend, okay? You come from about as north as you could get, New Jersey. You were raised a little bit in Montvale, and that's literally touching the New York border. So this should be an easy answer. Is it pork roll or is it Taylor ham?
Ooh. As I know it, it's Taylor ham.
All right. Perfect. We can continue. So now I'm on Aleko's side. I'm on Aleko's side. You should have not met Christian because you're a legend. But so let's talk. The other question I have is you're doing quite a bit for MLS, and you're focusing a lot of what you're doing in player development. And that seems to be a big point of focus, not just because you're getting new responsibilities every week, it seems, because they're now handling the Youth Development League. But talk a little bit about this sort of new era that we're in MLS, where teams are now purposefully looking to sell players, where maybe in the past that they almost tried everything they could to avoid it. And we could think of some names. I know you were with Cosmo B. Haji Wright was a name that pops in my mind, who almost tried to avoid MLS completely so that he wouldn't have the additional hurdle of trying to get sold, where now it's like MLS is the hotbed. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's almost like a culture shift. You know, I think over the years, you've just seen a growing investment from ownership groups into the youth, into the academy, into domestic players. And it's been a meteoric rise, to be honest with you. The landscape of youth soccer today is so different than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's exciting. There's obviously a lot of talented American players that are playing the game. And the quicker that they can be integrated into their professional teams when they're ready, of course, is only beneficial to them and their future, and obviously the club. So it's been a nice project to see the growing number of homegrown players that have been signing within the league, and then seeing the success stories of guys like Tyler Adams or Alfonso Davies, guys who signed, played with the reserve teams or in USL, and then worked their way up into the first team, got first team minutes, and then now, you know, in Alfonso Davies' case, he's one of the best left backs in the world, you know, and people forget that he grew so much with his experience in MLS, and that's where he got most of his tools and his skill set from. So it's definitely something that's nice to see, and I think it provides a nice trajectory for young players today that are aspiring to be pros.
And when it comes to I think for fans, when we saw that the U.S. Development Academy, like that, where that system was going to be, you know, it was obviously phased out. I don't know how to feel, right? I see it. Some people are really upset. Some parents are really upset. They're like, we're replacing it with something better. According to what I'm reading, I'm like, so as far as the transition, how is it happening? How do we sort of feel about it? And I know people have to do the actual work, and you are one of these people that actually have to figure it all out. What is that kind of, what's that undertaking like?
It's a lot. Obviously, there were unforeseen circumstances that led to where we're at today. And yeah, there's a lot of work that's being put into it. Our player development team at MLS is working day and night, weekends, trying to put this thing together. And the issue is that there's still uncertainty about what the schedule is going to look like going forward, whether we're even going to have youth soccer in the fall. You know, in some states it's different than in other states. So there's a lot of work, and it will continue to be a work in progress, but I'm really proud of the steps that we're taking. I think U.S. soccer did a great job of providing an imprint and a model of us being able to evaluate to see what worked and what maybe could be improved on. And so we're just building off of that and trying to continue where they left off and just try to improve the model as much as we can. And as you know, it's a huge country, and it's impossible especially you have 26 MLS clubs now, it's impossible for these 26 MLS clubs on their own to scout the entire country and all the talent in the entire country, especially.
But Aleko, I'm a U.S. soccer fan on Twitter. What? Figure it out. I'm upset. Yeah. Make me happy.
Right. Yeah, look, I've never once scouted a soccer player, but I've got ideas. Okay?
You know what? That's the funny thing is it's going to be a group effort. Like everyone needs to get on the same page. And that's really difficult when you talk about American soccer, especially about American youth soccer. You have so many different leagues and different leaders in the sport and different you know, politics or clashes that exist that unfortunately players end up being done a disservice because they're not necessarily being pushed in the right direction because it's such a business too. So
yeah.
From our end, we're just trying to do the best we can to bring the country together as a whole and do what's right for players and getting them into the right environments.
And is it as simple as, you know, we have Christian Pulisic, just get 50,000 more Christian Pulisic. Why can't we just simply do that?
Like also by the end of the week.
Well, you know, I was on one of the media calls when everything was announced, and I can't remember exactly who said this, but someone had mentioned like, oh, we're trying to do kind of the similar models that you see like in the Netherlands or France, where the Netherlands and France aren't necessarily the best leagues in the world, but when it comes to youth development, they are. So it's like, is the mentality from the ground up being like, you know, let's build a system where we could eventually win a World Cup, or is that even not really the kind of the focus?
I think it's difficult to say that there's just one focus. I think we're trying to accomplish a lot of different things. Obviously, we have ambitious owners who want this league to be the best, to be considered one of the top leagues in the world in a matter of time. And I think we're heading in the right direction. Obviously, you see the caliber of players that are coming through. But with that said, you don't want to neglect the youth in this country. And I think it is a responsibility of the league, of our clubs, to properly scout and develop players in the area that have a future. So it all should come together and mesh together. You can't really separate them all, in my opinion. But it's always going to be a working project because while soccer in America is growing and MLS is growing, it's not like the rest of the world is just chilling back there and saying like, oh yeah, go ahead, catch up.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah.
They're being innovative and
yeah, they're like, look, we'll stop. We'll just kind of let you catch up a little bit and then we'll all run together. I guess that's good for us. Yeah.
Right. If only they operated as such, but it's competitive out there, man. I mean, you see more and more foreign clubs that are in our American markets trying to poach some of the top players, but we feel pretty good about the model that our MLS academies are adopting and that being the best avenue towards success in the future.
Okay. Nice. Aleko, I mean, obviously is working with Major League Soccer now, but he is a Major League Soccer legend. I mean, he's had so many awesome moments. One of my favorite, of course, at your time with DC United, you scored against the New York Red Bulls and you had one of the early like viral moments in Major League Soccer, which was after you scored your goal, you ran up to the sideline and grabbed a Red Bull drink. You drank it and threw it on the ground. You spiked it like
also spit it out.
Like a Rob Gronkowski football. And just a real look when it comes to, you know, like just gully moments and things that we absolutely respect. Boom, you are right there. you talked about this a whole bunch, but from, you know, we haven't had this conversation with you, but really I'm curious about at the time when it happened, what was the blowback to, you know, I'm sure there was people who were critical, but what was the experience like at the time?
You mean after it happened?
Yeah, after it happened.
Yeah.
It was surreal because that was, and I've told this story before, but that, like back then we didn't have too many games that were televised for MLS. And that was like one of the few that was like, oh, it's going to be an ESPN game, so there's going to be more eyeballs on it. So always try to come up with something a little special for those televised games. But even then it was like a funny thing that I thought my teammates would get a kick out of. And as soon as the game was over, I remember I got out of the shower and I was going back to my locker and our team admin stopped me and he's like, hey man, you got a big crowd at your locker. We should probably go over what you're going to say. Cause like you kind of ruffled some feathers there. And I was like, what do you
this
mean?
This dude is in the shower with you, just in a suit getting wet. He's like, we got to go over this, Aleko. Okay. And you missed the spot. So,
When I get to my, and I was like, ah, don't worry, I got this. And I went and I was like, oh man, as soon as I got to my locker, I was like, dang, there's like 20, 30 people with, you know, microphones in my face. And right away they wanted to get into it. And my response off of that was like, guys, I don't even remember what you're talking about. I've had concussions and I blacked out. Nothing happened as far as I'm concerned. So I handled it that way right afterward. And then the next day, all of a sudden, my phone was blowing up. And I think I was on PTI and they started calling me like the TO or Ocho Cinco of MLS. And like I was in Sports Illustrated, like all these different things. And then I was like, man, I need to address this. So, and then I got the fine notice. And when I got fined, that's when the whole thing blew up because our fans took offense to it and they raised money to try to pay it, but yeah, they couldn't pay me directly. So I told them to donate it to charity in my name, and it kind of blew up into this big thing. But overall, it was really positive. And even people from Red Bull sent me a thank you note because they're like, hey, not many people knew we had purchased a soccer team until you did that celebration. So thank you for the free advertisement.
Hell yeah, dude. At that point, it was paid spot. It was a paid product placement, practically. Yeah. Now,
if I was more shrewd, I would have negotiated a deal out of it.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's no issue with that. A DC United player working a sponsorship deal with New York Red Bull.
Hey, single entity. What are you talking about? Huh? We're all getting fed here. Let me get my beak wet. when you look back, I mean, getting fined for that, where now teams have departments that are coming up with ways to go viral. You did it before there even was the possibility of going viral on the internet, and you got in trouble for it. How insane is that?
Yeah, I think that's just the different – when you look at the different chapters of the league, 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, I think that was a moment in time where the players, we were kind of our own – marketing machines. You know, I know my DC United team that I was on was full of personalities where like we were very much engaging with the fans that were watching the games and coming to the stadium. And we felt like it was a responsibility to help grow the game.
Yeah, there's a certain level of ownership of that because it was early on, very early on in the league. I did want to also, did you play with Bobby Boswell? Were you on the same team with Bobby?
I did.
And wait, so when I think of personalities like that, I'm like he's like the epitome of that, where he was doing like YouTube videos and really trying to be like an influencer in the soccer world.
I'm on a couple of those, yeah, usually trying to make fun of them. But Bobby and I played together for 3 years in D.C. And I think the streets of D.C. are happy we're no longer there.
How do you feel about RFK being done? Dude, only you have this thing where you're like, I remember growing up in Newark. I'm like, the good old days. And then I forget I'd run away from a crackhead every once in a while. Like, there's raccoons living in the stadium, dude. But you guys loved it. I used to get so scared watching the Barra Brava shake the whole stadium. I'm like, this is going to collapse.
It was awesome. I mean, the beautiful thing about it was at that time, not many teams had their own stadiums, right? I think it was Columbus was the first, and then I think Chicago came in with theirs. But RFK was very much a football stadium that became our home. Like, we weren't sharing that with anyone. There was no one else that was playing there until the Nationals came to town. All of a sudden, we had a pitcher's mound like at on top of the penalty box 1 year, which was insane. But prior to that, it was like very much our home, and I think it's historic with the bouncing bleachers and the environment that was there. It was electric, man.
Yeah. You also mentioned your career being cut short by concussions, and you're a person, you also, like Taylor Twellman, you guys have always been very vocal about head injuries. What has been the, because there have been initiatives and change in policies. I don't know, did you have anything to do with that, or what are your thoughts on the people taking that a lot more seriously?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is raising awareness. And unfortunately, with concussions, no two people's concussions are the same. You know, you and Alexis might bang your head against the wall, and Alexis might be fine, and you might be out for 10 months. You know, there's no saying, what the right
protocol
is.
Well, it's because I got all this fat that surrounds, right? That just helps protect the brain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like more viscous, you know, so it's just harder for the brain to make contact with the skull.
I'm just generally more fragile emotionally. I can't even handle being nutmegged by a professional athlete.
So he brings it up 2 years later, so you can imagine.
A nutmeg, a concussion would not go well.
No, It, all those things factor into it, believe it or not. Like everyone handles it differently, and your mental state does come into it as well. And yeah, it's been tough. It's been an ongoing battle, even for me, with getting used to life post concussions. And there was a dark, period there where I couldn't do anything. Like I couldn't work out. I couldn't be outside. I couldn't be in noisy places. I couldn't be under the sun. And it truly drives you insane where you're like, what can I even bring to the table at this point? And I think going through that just helped me, I guess going through all those difficult times and having my family as a support system, helping me get through it, then allowed me to share my experiences with others so that they never have to experience what I did.
Definitely, wow. Man. Dude. Yeah. That stuff is absolutely important, especially now.
Now, Aleko, you are a legend in MLS. But you also, slightly outside of MLS, became a bit of a legend in that you were, first of all, Kris Jenner knows who you are. Let's start there. And you went on a date with Kim Kardashian, right? Now, for everyone listening who has just crashed their cars, what were the circumstances around this happening? And was this, did you audition or was this actually a real date?
it was real as far as I know. It was really awkward circumstances now that you mention it. I'd moved to LA. There's obviously a large Armenian community, in LA, and I'm a very proud Armenian. And, when I first moved there, a couple people reached out to me of like, if you need anything, we got your back and, love to introduce you to people. And then, out of the blue, this is probably 2 years later, out of the blue, I get a phone call and, I answer the phone and a woman on the other end says, "Hi, this is Kris. I'm Kim Kardashian's mother. How are you doing?" And I'm like, okay, I'm getting punked. Like, this is Ashton Kutcher popping out the...
Punked was very popular at the time, by the way.
Punked was popular. Like, yeah, no, sorry. The viewers are not going to know what punk is. That's bad. I'm dating myself. But she literally called me, and I didn't believe it at first. And then she was just like, "Hey, listen, I want to set my daughter up with an Armenian guy, and I've asked around within the community. Everyone says you're a cool guy, that you show her a good time. So... would you be up for it?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'd be up for it." And then they ran me through like 20 questions. And I started hearing like voices in the background. I'm like, "Who's on the line?" And it was Courtney and Chloe, who were also on like speakerphone, like running me through
the whole
questionnaire. And
it's the Kardashian Tribunal. Okay? Yeah, you want to get it?
And then they were like, "All right, cool. Like, you seem like a cool guy. So like, Kim will call you later tonight." And
what kind of questions? Hold on, but don't even. What were they asking you? Was it like net worth?
Definitely not.
Yeah,
definitely not.
Have you ever rapped? Because we see Kim with a rapper in the future.
Yeah, how's your 3-pointer?
More of a quarterback. How does soccer work?
Yeah, my 40, my vert. Normal questions.
Exactly. You got to go through a combine.
It was a Kardashian combine.
The Kimbine.
<That's pretty good. laughs> Oh man, no, it's like normal questions, like personal questions too. Of like, have you had a serious girlfriend? Like, do you have any kids? I'm like, what do you think about having kids? Like things like that. Which I was like, where are you guys going with this? But to be honest, I thought it was gonna be a joke all the way up to like driving up to meet her in the restaurant. So it was pretty surreal.
And the date itself, I mean, could you say, was it fun? Was it weird? Were you nervous?
Super nervous. All right, I'll give you guys a quick story. I'll try to be quick with it. It's kind of drawn out, but basically, they're producers. They built like a Hollywood set inside of a restaurant.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not a normal date. You know what I mean? It's like,
I've never worn a mic pack to a date. I've never had to get hair and makeup for a date. I'll tell you that.
So. They're like, Kim's running a little bit late. Just go chill. Wait, in this other room, and we'll let you know when she gets here. And I'll never forget it. I think it was game 6 NBA Finals, Celtics-Lakers. So I'm just like watching the game. They like brought me a bottle of wine. I'm relaxing. Finally, we go out, and it was like an empty restaurant. All of a sudden, there was like a full audience. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So that's when I got nervous. But we had a great time. And then my funny story is there's a waiter who I kind of see like off camera, and he helped me out. It was kind of like Christian on the soccer field. Like, he was way more nervous than I was. So I was like, all right, I feel better about myself now.
And, right. I can't believe my nutmeg is now an analogy for other people's stories, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. Your pain has inspired yet again.
So this waiter, I see him like nervous. And finally he's like, gets the okay, and he comes and he delivers this whole like, welcome to the restaurant. This is our history. Like, have you ever been here before? And I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, perfect. And he starts like going through like a 5-minute spiel on like everything about the restaurant. All of a sudden, as he's finishing up, Kim's like, stop. Where's my bodyguard? And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So then she calls her bodyguard over, and she's like, hey, there's someone in the audience that's like taking video, and they're not supposed to do that. Like, so I'm like, hey, is everything cool? As if I was going to do something. And she's like, yeah, like, I just saw this person was taking a bunch of photos. Like, I wouldn't care if it was one or two, but they're like videoing. They shouldn't be doing that. So they handle it. All of a sudden, the producer, I guess, is like, tells the waiter, like, hey, do you mind doing that again? And this guy's like, yeah, sure. And now he's feeling, he got like one out of the way, so he's feeling a lot more relaxed now. And he's like, yeah, I'll run it back. So he goes off camera, and then he comes on, and he's like, hello, welcome to the restaurant. Have you ever been here before? And I just looked him dead in the eye, and I go, yes. And he looks at me, and with his eyes, he's like, you MF-er. I wasn't prepared for a yes. Yeah. And so he just freezes. And now, like, his whole 5-minute, you know, spiel that he had, he can't do. And he's like, okay, here's your menu. And he walks away. And I'm
amazing.
Like,
wait, so Aleka, are you telling me that reality shows are not real? Is this what you're suggesting?
You know,
someone is so upset that you said audience, because they're like, why would there be audience for real life that is completely unscripted?
I don't know either. It caught me off guard. I was like, well, like, when I walked into this restaurant, it was empty, and now there's like 80 people pretending to be sitting at other tables.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's like you are on this date, and then all of a sudden it's like the Truman Show. Everybody's like, immediately turns to you.
Yeah. Thank God there were no cameras when I was first dating my wife. I'll tell you that. Did you end up paying for the date? Yeah.
No. They never even brought out a bill or anything. I think it was just on the house. Like,
nice.
Just on the e-budget. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend that the next time I take my wife out, I'm just going to be like, I'm sure production will pick this up. She's like, there's no cameras, Alexis. What are you talking about?
No. Fubo got it. Fubo got it,
baby. I can hear them say no in my ear, by the way.
With what I was expecting, she was super, super down to earth and open, and she was really cool. Don't have anything bad to say about her.
Okay.
Next week on Armenian Matchmaker, we have no second date.
We talked for a little bit, but like, so I should say, when we first started the date, and I've told this people all the time, but they don't believe me. When we first started the date, I was like, hey, look, I'm not looking to be in a relationship with this. Like, I thought it'd be cool to meet you. Let's just have fun. Go from there, no pressure. And she was like, oh, cool. So it wasn't like I thought like this was going to be a love interest. Like, I'm not built for that life. So
no.
What life are you talking about? Just being married to or being in a relationship with a superstar celebrity, or just loving another human being? I'm just not built for like love or being loved or anything.
Also, know that this question comes from the Christian Polanco personal file, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, I very much relate.
Yeah, considering I'm still single, you might have a point there. I never thought of it quite that way, but damn.
Let's get back to soccer real quick, guys, because we were talking a little bit about your coaching career, and then that was definitely a big part of your life for a long time. What is so we had a question specifically about the New York Cosmos, and this, we got a question from Mike Chiara. He had asked that you did a great job. He said you did a great job with Cosmos B. Are you interested in returning to management, or are you interested in being more on the side you're on, or business and things like that?
Yeah, great question. I really loved coaching. I was obviously in a great situation at the Cosmos with Giovanni Savarese being his assistant and then being the head coach of Cosmos B, which was a lot of fun. And yeah, I don't think it's out of the question to always kind of be involved in a coaching aspect. But for me and my personal trajectory, I think more along the lines of being a sporting director or GM is kind of what I'm building towards at the moment. And I just have a passion for the work that's put in, like off the field. That kind of equals success on the field. So even with the Cosmos, Gio did a great job of giving me some freedom to go scout players, negotiate contracts, recruit guys in. And I found that to be really much more gratifying. And coaching is great. I'll never say never in terms of returning in some capacity, but I've really been enjoying what I've been doing at the league office and working with a lot of the sporting directors and CSOs at the clubs at the MLS level, and hopefully that'll be in my future one day as well.
All right, and you had mentioned before that you were coaching at the Academy for the Philadelphia Union, and you had there's been a couple huge names that have been coached by Aleko Skenderian. I know you mentioned Brendan Arrington, who's been absolutely amazing in this MLS is Back tournament, but also Christian Pulisic. You were
never heard of him.
did you have any idea something like that? Well, even with Brendan or with Christian, did you see this as a possibility for their careers, even at a young age?
Yeah, well, I'll preface it by saying I had zero part in their development. And what I mean by that is these kids, especially at that age, were being developed by their parents and putting the time in, spending time with the ball on their own and all that stuff. So I give their parents full credit for their development. I happen to be the youth technical director at Philadelphia Union. So we would invite them in to train with our academy teams. And yeah, they were super talented. In Christian's case, he was a little guy, really, really tiny, small, physically. You weren't sure how he would deal with it. But I remember specifically him as a 12-year-old putting him with our U16 academy, just to see how he would handle it. And physically, he was overmatched, but you got to see glimpses of mentally starting to think the game through and setting up give and goes and megs and things like that. So you always knew he had special talent, but even at that age, it'd be tough for me to predict that he was going to be starting for Dortmund at 17 and now at Chelsea tearing up the Premier League. It's been incredible to see him kind of grow into the player that he's become today, but we always knew he was special even at that age.
When can you tell? Is there ever a moment that a kid at least can be as great as Christian Pulisic? Is there a time? When can you know? And it's because Christian and I want to start a third-party ownership company. No, I'm kidding. Like, when is that moment? Because I would assume at 12 years old, he would play like an 18-year-old because at 18, he played like a 27-year-old.
No, because when he was 12, like I said, he was so undersized. So he's very different than he was today. He was still quick, but in a sprint, he wasn't going to beat a 16-year-old. Or especially trying to use his body shielding a ball, he was getting pushed over. And that's where you see certain special traits that a player has. And that's what's difficult. That's the beauty of scouting, in my mind, is being able to find that diamond in the rough. Is you're not just looking at the success they're having. You're just looking at the thought process and how the wheels are turning or how they're adapting to adversity. All those things come into play. And there's no one age that you could say, oh, if they can't do it at 13, then they have no chance. It doesn't work that way. I look at my own development path, like, it took me a while to just get confidence. Like, I grew up in North Jersey and I was very much in my North Jersey bubble. And I remember the first time I got invited to the state team of ODP, I didn't even know what that was. But in my head, I was like, I'm not good enough to be one of the best players in the state, let alone in the country. And it took me a long time to be exposed to that and to understand like what it takes to get to that next level and then challenge yourself to get there. And for me, that happened at probably 17 was when I finally was like, okay, I could do this. And I kind of had my entire like tool set together.
Yeah. All right, sure. When you started traveling and playing those other states, they're like, sir, you can't play with the chains sticking out. No. I'm from North Jersey, baby. This is part of the uniform. I don't know if you know that.
I definitely did.
Of course you did.
Yeah. All right. Thank you again to Aleko Skenderian for joining us. We had a great time. Right. I mean, this conversation went everywhere, okay? Yeah. Soccer, Kardashians, New Jersey, yeah. It went everywhere.
You put those three together, that's a pretty good life right there. That's a fun time.
Okay. So, Aleko, thank you so much for joining us, man. Look, obviously, you are definitely our sworn enemy, but, you know, we still have a lot of respect for you. Yeah. Is there anything you want to mention before we sign off?
No, just thank you guys for having me, and thank you for all you do for the game, man. I think it's important to have fun and a sense of humor with this game that we all love. So I appreciate the work you guys do, and just wishing for continued success on the field and health off the field as we get through this crazy time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. Well, you know, you were one of the pillars of this league. So thank you for allowing us to have an opportunity to do something like this, man. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all social media channels, at Soccer Cooligans, and also subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So let us end the show the way we normally do, and we are going to include Aleko. So for Aleko Eskandarian, my name is Christian Polanco.
And of course, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!